yourself in, get comfortable, see what God has for us, because we're still talking about the power in the blood of Jesus. Oh, they've all went to sleep after that one. Let me just go for scripture then and see what happens. 1 John 1, 7 through 9. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Understand this. Contrary to reports, there was still tremendous power in the blood of Jesus Christ. That same blood that was shed on the cross 2,000 years ago. What does that do for us? Well, there was power to save. Not one saved person in here today. There's power to save. And there's power to heal. And there's power to deliver. And there's power to overcome any evil or adversity. There's power to bring freedom and hope for us. Power to break every chain of Satan held over your life. Every chain. Power to transform your life and change your destiny. Praise God. Understand this. If the heart of the gospel is the cross, then the shed blood of Jesus Christ is the force that propels its power. Are you listening? Are you listening to this? Before the blood of Jesus was shed on Calvary's cross, Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Listen to Matthew chapter 4. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him being Jesus spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and Jesus healed them. Praise God. It's going to be tough this morning. I can feel it in my bones. What was Jesus' message at this particular time? His message was kingdom takeover. Kingdom takeover. Matthew chapter 12. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons. Come on. Then the kingdom of God has come upon you. In other words, the defeat of sins and curses and demons. Hallelujah. And to accomplish a once and for all, listen, a once and for all defeat over the powers of darkness. Jesus Christ, praise God, the sinless, perfect Savior, went to the cross of Calvary and was crucified, totally absorbing the penalty of our sins once and for all. Amen. I'm just going to amen myself today. Praise God. After this monumental event, now hear this, the gospel message becomes a message centered around the cross. Hallelujah. You no longer find the term gospel of the kingdom or the good news of the kingdom used anywhere except in the four gospels. But from the book of Acts onwards, the central message becomes the message of the cross. Hallelujah. Listen to what Paul says in Galatians 6. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Hallelujah. Listen to this today. Again, contrary to reports, no other message on the earth today compares with the message of the cross, because what circulates through it is the eternal, everlasting blood of Jesus, which still has incredible, life-changing power today. That's why we're saying, thank God for the blood of Jesus. Praise God for the blood of Jesus. Paul speaks up again. He speaks up again in Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Hallelujah. Listen to this. The blood of Christ deals with our sin. Are you hearing this? The blood of Jesus deals with our sin. The cross deals with self. Are you hearing this? Listen up now. This might be interesting for some today. You accept the blood to forgive, but you die. You die to self on the cross. Praise God. And perhaps the two most important messages taught by the apostles after the resurrection of Jesus are, one, the message of the cross, and secondly, spiritual warfare. We don't talk much about that anymore. It's become almost dormant in churches today. And we could say that today these two vitally important messages are not being taught as the apostles once taught them. And I'm not standing here this morning before you suggesting for 1 minute that other churches are not preaching the gospel. But I am simply making the point that the message of the cross and the importance of spiritual warfare remain incredibly important for the church to know and to understand. Faith was never going to be easy. Believing for things unseen, faith was never going to be easy. Scripture says the way, this way was always going to be narrow. But sadly for the church, the way seems to have become broad and wide. And liberalism has come along to invade the Church of Jesus Christ today. Let me tell you something. This is war. This is war. We are at war today for what is right and what is true and what is noble and what is trustworthy and what is honorable, and that is the Word of God. We are at war today regarding all these things, because I'll tell you something. I have witnessed many. I have witnessed many who've come to faith only to fall away back into the world where there had been a failure to fully appreciate and understand the message of the cross and the warfare that comes with it. In other words, we weren't taught properly. We were superficial, wishy-washy with many of the things we heard. You see, understand this today. The gospel never changes. The way we present it might change. The way we say it might be different, but it remains absolutely the same. And central to the message of the cross that gives you and I victory every single day is the blood of Jesus Christ. And central to spiritual warfare to have victory is the blood of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Someone said this morning from Revelation 12. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony, or their testimony. Church, the precious blood of our Lord not only serves as an atonement for our sins, but it also totally devastates the demonic realm. And if you think there's not a demonic realm, then you've been mistaught according to Scripture. We are at war, and war is rife out there for the souls of men and women today. I will say this. Every Christian, every believer must know, and they must identify with the message of the cross, and then know how to engage in spiritual warfare. Because listen to this. If not, you simply will not live a victorious faith. It will be somehow defective. It will lack power. It will be void of any testimony. Let me digress for a moment. Because the trends are now affecting the church. The trends of the world are invading the church. The church was never meant to be like the world. Are you hearing me? We are meant to be set apart, consecrated, different from the world. Today, the trend in churches is not about denying self, it's about self-improvement. You hearing this? It's about self-improvement. Now, there's absolutely nothing wrong with wanting to improve yourself and wanting to get better as a person, but the problem is that improving yourself was never God's way. Never has been God's way. God's way is not to improve self. God's way is to crucify self. That is the message of the gospel. Man today and woman today are sinners lost without any hope of renewal, without God's intervention. And listen to this. And when God intervenes, he starts by putting to death self. Completely and totally. You see, here's another problem. Many today are afraid to call man what he is, a sinner. We're afraid to say it anymore. But without this realization that I need to be saved because I am a sinner, there can be no freedom. No real freedom. And I understand the new wave and the new trends and the new philosophies. We hear the new theme, the message that are being preached today. And I understand where they're coming from that say we're no longer sinners, but we're now saints. But I'll tell you something about that. I believe that message has made some far, far too comfortable as believers. We're no longer pressing towards the prize, but we're settling into contentment and complacency. Hear me today. The old man, the Bible calls it, must die. He must die completely. This is why entrance into Christianity begins by being born again. Hallelujah. And to be born, one must first cease to exist, then be born. That's exactly how it works. And this is where many people today who claim to be believers are not experiencing the presence and the power of God in their lives because they are not truly born again. Hallelujah. Self has not died and is still very much alive in many people who are even attending churches today. Therefore, the new man created in Christ Jesus is unable to emerge, and it is the new man that God desires to bless. Hallelujah. The blood. Say the blood. Glory. The blood forgives sin. Amen. But the cross crucifies self. This is how it works. Listen to Paul in Romans 6. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Oh, I'll say amen. Amen. We'll no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Praise God. Listen, church, today. The reason why self-improvement is only a temporary fix is that it does not deal with the real issue of a sinful and corrupt nature that simply, hey, it cannot be fixed. It must die for the new man created in Christ Jesus to come fully alive again. Ephesians chapter 4, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. Hallelujah. Which has been corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. In other words, you and I will never have total victory in our lives until we completely and fully identify with the cross of Jesus Christ. Never. The Apostle Paul boasted in the power of the cross. And notice what he says in Galatians chapter 2. I have been crucified with Christ. Praise God. He did not say at any point, I have been improved with Christ. It's not in there. That would mean that God simply cleaned him up. No, Paul's flesh died. It died completely. And listen, church, the precious blood of our Lord not only serves as an atonement, that's a covering for our sins, but it also devastates the demonic realm completely and totally. And like most things in the spirit, faith is the active ingredient of claiming the blood or using the blood of Jesus as a weapon. Glory to God. You see, blood is precious to man, and I'll tell you why. Because it's precious to God. Totally. Genesis chapter 3, way back there, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. Now understand this, to obtain skins, there first had to be a shedding of blood. Scripture will tell you that Adam and Eve covered themselves with fig leaves, but fig leaves are never ever going to work. They're never going to do. Only blood can provide a covering for mankind. Only blood will cover our sins. You see, death, which most people fear, death is an enemy. But the Bible says that Jesus will sit at the right hand of the Father until all his enemies are put under his feet. Amen. Praise God. You see, life, according to Scripture, life defeats death. Hallelujah. I said life defeats death. Hallelujah. I said life defeats death. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Bible says that the life is in the blood. It's not in the heart, according to Scripture, or kidneys or brain. The life of Jesus is in his shed blood. Praise God. It is the life in the blood that turns back death. It turns back death every time. Glory to God. And only God's perfect, beautiful, wonderful Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ, only he will do. It's his blood that protects us. Listen to me. It's his blood that protects us from death and gives us everlasting life. His blood compels death to completely and totally pass over you and me. Praise God. No fig leaves. Try it. No fig leaves or fruit or any other worldly substitute will provide a covering, including no good works or no good deeds, just faith, the grace of God, and the blood of Jesus Christ. That is what required for you and I. Church, it is the blood of Jesus that atones right now for the soul. Look back in Leviticus chapter 17, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Glory. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Amen. Understand this. Man is a spirit that lives in a body and possesses a soul, which is your mind and which is your emotions. And for most Christians today, the suffering they are enduring is in the body or the soul. Physical illness and mental or emotional illness for a Christian, listen to this, for a Christian, demonization only occurs in the soul and the body because the spirit belongs to the Lord. Praise God. Can I briefly deal with this thing called soul sickness? Let me deal with that. Soul sickness, because it's here. It's in this area that many, many people are struggling today. Mental and emotional sickness. Understand this, the mind is where you're thinking and emotions is your feeling. And when sin enters the mind or the emotion, it actually causes defilement and damage. One would call it today soul sickness. And it's really no different to the body becoming sick because of bacteria or virus has infected and entered the body. And as I was looking at this during the way, I asked the Lord to bring to mind the biggest infectors of the mind and emotion. And I came up with four very honest ones that most people perhaps will relate to, and there are many more. One was unforgiveness. Two was bitterness. Three was anger. I know we never get angry, do we? And the fourth one was fear. There are many, many others, but in my experience as pastor, these seem to be trigger points for soul sickness today. And understand this, these must be dealt with before spiritual freedom will come to our lives. They must be dealt with. The Bible tells us that Jesus ministered to all kinds of people suffering with all kinds of sickness and demonic oppressions. Mark chapter 1, the whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak. Hallelujah. Because they knew who he was. Mark chapter 6, 13, they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Remember 1 John 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Amen. We are living post-cross. That's where we are. The blood of Jesus has already been shed for our forgiveness. Therefore, there is power in the blood of Jesus today to cleanse you and I from all sin and sickness and demonization. And this applies to the body, but it also applies to the soul. Hallelujah. Unforgiveness. What is unforgiveness? Briefly, unforgiveness is a trap. It is a trap that keeps us in a state of vengeance that in the end only damages you and I. Scripture says, but if you do not forgive others their sin, your Father will not forgive your sins. Bitterness is the poison that filters through your body, causing you to become bitter and then poisonous to other people. Hebrews 12, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Anger is a natural reaction to an injustice, but if allowed to fester, it will rob you of your personal peace. Paul in Ephesians 4, and do not give Satan or the devil a foothold. Fear, we talk about this much, it is the great immobilizer that keeps you in an anxious state that if left unchecked will lead directly to depression. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. Hallelujah. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. And the one who fears is not made perfect in love. Church, listen to this. We're nearly there. Demonic spirits, listen to this. Demonic spirits thrive on people who are vulnerable. Who are vulnerable and to those who give him legal access to demonize them. Unforgiveness and bitterness and anger and fear give the devil legal access to cause trouble within your life. And let me tell you this, a lot of damage is done in people's personal health and well-being, including marriages and families and friendships, when these are allowed to remain and dominate. 2 Corinthians 7, therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Praise God. This means, listen to this, This means that we are the ones who have to deal with the issues of our hearts and bring them to the Lord to have them cleansed. That's why the altar is such an incredibly powerful place for sins to be erased and what cleanses them. Back to 1 John 1. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. Would you stand with me this morning, please? I want you to get into a state and just close your eyes for a second. See, these soul sicknesses, such as unforgiveness and bitterness and anger and fear, they are generally, listen to this, don't zone out, they are generally trapped in our conscious mind because of trauma and hurt and disappointment. And if these are allowed to fester, they will begin to dominate our reactions and even magnify them to boiling point at times. Now open your hands to God. I want to finish with a scripture. I want you to receive this by the Holy Spirit. It's Hebrews chapter 9. But when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, He went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands. That is to say, is not part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but He entered the most holy place once and for all by His own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer are sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean, sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more, hallelujah, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that led to death, so that we may serve the living God. Hallelujah. Just stay where you are. Because we're going to go straight from here to communion, which fits so well. But as you walk along the altar today, this morning I came in early and prayed. I prayed down here. I never sprinkled blood. I just sprinkled anointing oil on the carpet. I hope I didn't stain it or anything. Before you come down these side aisles, I'm going to touch the post at the last point here as you pass by. I want it to be different today as we break bread together. I want that walk from your seat to this altar to be really significant from a spiritual standpoint. I want you to let His blood wash over you today. And if there's been fear or unforgiveness or anxiety or difficulty, and your soul has been a little bit sick, you just walk by and ask God to renew you and to heal you and to touch you. See, it's the touch of the Master we need. It's His touch upon our life. And in this little, what you might think insignificant moment can become very significant and very real and monumental. I want my wife Gail and Danny, and I want Stephen.